I apologize. We had a minor emergency. I got here and had to go back home. So, I have decided what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about questions that Jesus asked. If you take your Bible, turn me to Matthew chapter 5. Again, I do apologize. I hope Joy come in here and told somebody I was going to be late. But anyway, I got one story, then we'll start. So you won't believe what Sloan told his teacher this week. He told her that Anna Reed works two jobs. She does not. And that I don't have a job. Yep. Mm-hmm. There are no words for that. Let's just go forward. So I'm going to draw our attention very specifically to a verse and then a part of this verse. I'm not proof texting. The surrounding part of this verse you know all about. I'll use some of it in the lesson tonight. But in verse 47 in chapter 5, it says, "And if you greet your brothers, what are you doing more than others?" Okay, everybody see that? This will be our first question. First question from Jesus. What are you doing more than others? Do not even the pagans do that? Okay, let's talk about first our world. The world in which we currently live, I don't have to tell you a whole lot about. I mean, you are well aware of the place that you live and what's going on. But I want you to think about not necessarily you or Etheridge in general, but overall, how different do Christians in the world, in America today, look differently than the rest of the populace? Now, you don't have to answer out loud if you want to, by all means do, but just think about that. And this one I would love for someone to answer. Do you see a difference in that gap 20 years ago in our country? Did Christians look differently than the world looked 20 years ago, more so than they do today? Anybody? No, like just how they live their lives and how they go about doing things. Some? Hope. Or is that a wish? So let's talk about that for a minute. So do you think there is? Yes or no? Okay. A difficult question here. It's a yes or no. Do you think? No, I know what you're saying, but good intentions pave the road to hell. They do. I mean, every one of us in here, if we did everything we intended on, boy, we'd be great people. And Charlie Lloyd, I told you, he told me before, he said, this is my favorite quote Ben's ever said. We judge other people on their actions. We judge ourselves on our intentions. And that is not fair. It's not. Because we intend to do a lot of good stuff. Don't we? I'm going to be so good. I've got all these good things to do. And these other people mess up. Like, you believe she did that? Terrible. Again, that's how we do. It's how we roll. But we should be different. But are we? I like to think of the high school version of me. I mean, I didn't wear t-shirts with slogans on them. You know, Jesus rocks. Come to church or whatever. But I didn't look different as a church goer than the people that didn't go to church in high school. I did not. Did you? Maybe some of you did, some of you didn't. So when I think about that comparison, then I walk that into the future of my life. How different am I compared to the normal person? The normal person. My mother would say normal is a setting on the dryer. The old wordsmith. Yeah, my mom. What do you think, though? No one's going to say yes or no. We're going to go with hope. Go ahead, Lonnie.
There's one thing that I see in dealing with the public,
Yes. And I've heard Brother George Eubanks, he's right here, say this many times, that in business, people oftentimes say that you can't be a Christian, but if you were a Christian, it would set you apart and you would advance. And it's true. If you were a person of integrity and honesty, people want that in their surroundings. They don't want people who are not people of integrity. Now, Lonnie, by the way, I almost took him fishing. His point, I almost was ready to load him up in my boat because I agree with him that the world. But then he went to climate change as if that was the issue. Like, oh, you lost me. He lost me, dadgummit. Because let's be honest, people are running around here with their heads like on fire are not just people who think that climate change is real or not real. There's so much of the world doing that for numerous reasons. And that's been for years and years and years, right? Okay, I'm going to offer a personal suggestion. You can agree with it or disagree with it. I think we are different than the world. But I think our differences in us and the world are not the same differences we see in Christianity in the beginning and now. I think our differences are different. I need to take a nap. But do you understand? Now, you don't have to, again, agree with me. But I think that we are different than the world, but our difference is different. Now, Mike Cope, he's at Pepperdine, so that should tell you a lot about Mike Cope. But he is a member of the Churches of Christ. And he has suggested that the churches has always been arm's length away from the world. The problem is we have our finger in the belt loop. And as far as they go down, we go down that far too. And just constantly stay an arm's length away. I think that's a pretty good example. Pretty good example of what I think about. Anyway, those are free thoughts. So let me move forward. So what I can't do is I can't truly give a definitive answer for you about overall Christianity in the world today. Is it different than the world? What I can do is give a personal observation and tell about my own life. Am I different than other people? So about 15 years ago, what came up for me that made me different, that God drove me in the direction of, was this idea of what efficiency and productivity. You've heard me talk about this before. The American idea of efficiency and productivity. And I rebelled against it with all of my heart. Now, I don't know why. I don't know why this came about. But there were so many people around me that were producing this value in their life by being productive. Does that make any sense? I don't know if that makes any sense. You can call it productive however you want to. I'm not talking about bearing children. A lot of people are productive that way. I'm talking about like, you know, they were accomplishing things in their life. They were getting stuff done, checking it off the list. When I was in Memphis, I decided I had to work on my weaknesses. And my weakness, without a doubt, top weakness when it comes to anything in the world, is going to be administrative abilities. So I had to go to a Franklin Covey Franklin Covey seminar, which was 3 days. And they gave me a leather satchel to carry around with me, which was great to have a purse in Memphis. But it was a great thing for me because it did help me. But just the what they were talking about in the seminar was so far beyond me. And it's like every day when you get up in the morning, first thing you do is you write a list of things you want to accomplish that day. I'm not a list person. How in the world am I going to get up and do it? So I would do it. And then at the end of the day, you look at that list and feel good about yourself about everything that you checked off. I thought, this is the worst idea ever. I mean, do people do that? Dude, I mowed the yard today. I'm awesome. Is that what God has asked of us? dude, I made sweet tea and I mowed the yard today and I went to work and I brought a check home and I spanked one of my children who were unruly. Man, I'm a great human. Right? Do you see what I'm saying? And I'm using hyperbole, blowing this out of proportion. But then the idea of technology gets into this situation, which technology was going to free us up, right? It's going to free, dude, the job that you do now, it's going to be done like in half the time. Guess what technology did? Exactly what they prophesied it would do. But now that you got this other free time, we want you to do 50% more work. Here you go. It was what you used to do, and this is what we need you to do now. I see Mike Mashburn back here. I wonder how many cars a body shop used to do and how many cars they can do today. I mean, I don't know. I don't really know. I'm assuming that things have changed and it's gotten better and more efficient and productive. And you can make all kind of money, right? More so than you could maybe just 30 years ago. I will tell you, everybody that paints cars in Iuka, Mississippi says, you either bring your dirt or we'll use our dirt. Right? They don't have like a paint tin or whatever. Sorry, I get distracted. So about all of that, I think that when I come to this idea of different, what I can do is paint a picture of what was different about the people in the Bible at the beginning. And it's quite vivid. It's quite vivid. You'll never guess. What do you think the first thing that separated them from everybody else was? They met daily? Yeah, how about y'all? Y'all want to do that? The elders have, I would love to get in the pulpit and say this somewhere. I would. The elders have now required that we come to church every day of the week. Do you think numbers will go up or down? What do you think? Yeah. Use that word required like they do for Sunday night. Or, you know, the elders have set aside this time for you to come every day. It wouldn't happen. I think that's good. I do think they met daily. And here's the first thing I believe that we can see is they loved each other. Now, I cannot relate to all of the points that they're going to talk about, but this one makes me think about Pleasant Hill Road in Iuka, Mississippi. You know, we family. We family. We love each other. And if somebody got sick, it was, you know, people were there. People were there. Recently, my children were talking to someone, and it was a couple of things coming out. First of all, Charlie, one of the girls said, I thought your daddy's a preacher. I thought he'd be strict. And Charlie laughed. I thought, I'll kill him. But the other thing was, they were talking about how they're always with us, right? We don't ever get away from mom and daddy. We're always with them. And the thing about that is, I wasn't always with my mom and dad. My mom and dad worked, and guess who raised me? My grandparents, both sets, right? I was with them. And if something got, like, we're in a hurry, we need your help. There was family. There was always family there. You know, the pitch in, and that was the image of family that I had that I carried on into the church. And this first thing about love one another, Jesus says in John 13, this is it. The world will know that you belong to me because the love you have for one another. We love each other. We love each other. And I can't give you the quote, but Marilyn Monroe has this quote about if you can't accept her on her good days, I know if you can't accept her on her bad days, then you don't deserve her on her good days. How many of you in here have bad days? Anybody? Does anybody in here have a bad day? Well, Macy's going to have a good one. She's had a good one today. It's been beautiful. We've just tugged. I mean, we've just been hugging all day. I almost killed her while I go on the way home, but it's okay. Maybe DHS won't find out about it. We will all wake up on the wrong side of the bed. Every one of us in here wake up on the wrong side of the bed on some day. And it's in that moment where love has to shine through. It could be anything that made your day bad. But I believe that love is that overcomes that barrier. We accept they're ugly. My friends are coming in about a week and a half, and I'm very excited. I can tell you the terrible part of every one of them. I'm talking about the worst. One of them's name's Cameron. He's passive aggressive. It makes me sick at my stomach. You know, we're going to have this talk, but like, tell Murphy he's selfish. Murphy, you're selfish. Cameron will go, we're all selfish. Ugh, I can't stand it. Murphy's selfish, by the way. That's his. He's selfish. Clint's coming. He's an instigator. I can stand about 3 days with Clint, and I'm going to take about a day break, right? Because he instigates. He's just looking for a fight. He didn't care if it's him or somebody else. He just wants to, somebody fighting. I guarantee he'll walk in there and start talking about Republican and Democrat. That'd be the first thing he starts talking about, just trying to get people in an argument, trying to get a fight going. Oh, right, and they know my ugly. Every one of them, the first thing they'd tell you about me is I'm abrasive. Ben's abrasive. If you're smoking marijuana and you come to my house and expecting me to talk about anything other than you smoking marijuana, you don't know me very well. You still doing drugs? I mean, that's going to be my first question. I don't know how to live any other way. I'm worried about it. Quit doing drugs, dum-dum. I mean, that's the way I walk. But it's also sometimes highly annoying, right? So what about you? We're family. We're family, right? We know this about one another. We know things that we like and we don't like. But we also grow and learn. So sometimes Sean Romer and I collide. You know what I'm saying? Like sometimes we just, our ideology and our the way we talk to one another, so country, right? Just collide. But the growth, this week we sat down and we ate together and you would have thought we had an awesome theological discussion where we differed with one another in a certain way. And it was beautiful. And that's growth. You know, that's what a family does. We love one another and we grow. Next, I believe that you'd say they loved outsiders. Here is definitely not a mark of the church today. And I know I use the same examples all the time. But for this is mild for me. It's not a place. It's a woman. She had them three kids. She came to church. Church was always helping her. She smelled like seven packs of Cool cigarettes. You know that person? You've smelled this person before. And it was amazing how those elders loved her. I'm talking about loved her. And she had nothing to offer Iuka Church of Christ, but they loved her. That was an image of my childhood that I will never forget. There are so many things that I will forget, but there's things that I will not forget, right? That's one of them. And I don't know what message we're sending to our kids today. I've also been, I won't go into that. Forget that. Love outsiders. We have to love people that are outside of us. We have to love people that are not like us and do not share the same faith that we share. My mother right now is on a campaign to kill all Muslims. I'm not kidding. And she wants to start with every Muslim in America, kill them all. And I've told you that her family is racist. I mean, it's just true. They are. My mother has had to overcome things, and she has. But every now and then, that little bone will come back up, and I just look at her, but Mama, that ain't, you have to know that ain't right. Right? That ain't right. Yeah, they're going to do it to us if we don't do it to them. I said, Mama, that's a logical fallacy. I mean, it's written down. That's a logical fallacy. It's like if the snowball effect, logical fallacy. Well, if we do this little bit, next thing you know, no human's going to have clothes. What? What does that have? You see what I'm saying? It's that deal. But she gets that place. And do you think my mother just sat around one day and stirred herself up this way? Like nobody's been talking about Muslims in a bad way around her? Of course they have, right? Well, listen to this. Not only does it tell us that we have to love people that are not like us, brace yourself, everybody. If you're not buckled in, please buckle up. Jesus teaches us to love our enemies. I don't know how many enemies you have. Looking at this rough bunch, some of you got more enemies than others. Jesse. No, I'm kidding. But if you have an enemy, the Bible teaches us to love them. I have tried my best to teach people about a congregation of people. I have never been, as a minister, as a youth minister, in a congregation where I liked everybody. Now, that may catch you off guard, but it's important that you understand that there is a difference in love and like. Because not only inside of the church, but when we talk about our enemies, we don't have to carry them casseroles and tell them they're awesome all the time, right? Oh, did you hear your enemy? Blew your house up. Let's carry them a casserole. Tell them they're awesome. No, we have to love them. We have to treat them. You want to know what's great about America to me? The greatness of America is how we deal with war. I hate war. I'm assuming everyone in this room hates war. But you may not know this, but we have the ability to drop one bomb and it'll end it. But we don't do that anymore. Seriously, one bomb. Well, Syria right now, we could have ended it. It's about to end. Obviously, he's killed over 450,000 people. It's about to end of his own people. Crazy. But we could have ended that a long time ago, couldn't we? But we didn't. We take a high road when it comes to those kind of things. That is what makes America great. Do you think Russia will take a high road with us? Do you think China will take a high road with us? If it came to war between us and those countries, do you think they would take a high road with us? Or do you think they'd drop the bomb? I don't know. I've never lived in Russia or China. But what I do know is America has only done that one time in history, and we sort of regretted it, even though it ended a war for us. You see, that's what makes us great. So when I think about who God is too, and man, there are so many examples I could read here. I think about Jesus on the cross. The two people that are beside him, you remember the one talks about, Lord, you know, remember me in the days to come. This is love of outpouring to a man who just moments before was not a part of the team. I think about Jesus' words on the cross. Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do. Could you pray that prayer? Looking at the face of your murderers? All right, you about to kill me quick. Hold on just a minute. Let me pray to God right quick. Make sure he doesn't hurt you too bad over this. Would that be your thought? The next thing, I got to move forward here quickly. I'm sorry. They lived the hard life. We talked about pain recently, and pain is one of those things that will get in my mind and not leave it. I don't have answers, and I don't have a lot of, I don't know, for me, I don't have a lot of finish in that topic. But when I come to this idea of living the hard life, the thing that I do see quite clearly is God has never been concerned with the comfort of his people. That may make you nervous, but this alone turned me off to televangelists a long time ago. It never has displayed this, you know, let me make you comfortable. Take your Bibles, turn to Hebrews. I didn't write it down. Hebrews 11:37, I think. Hebrews 11:37, Millard. Now, this is just speaking of people in the Old Testament, okay? Now, if God were concerned about the comfort of his people, I don't know if this verse would be in the Bible. They were put to death by stoning. They were sawn in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. What? Wait, that's the Old Testament. Just wait till you get to the New, right? It's going to be all better. It's not. There's this constant display of Christianity is going to make you walk a difficult path. Remember Jesus' words? If anyone wants to come after me, what? Let him deny himself. Are you good at denying yourself? Are you good at that? You think that'd be the easy path or easy course to take? You think about how the people pray too. You think about Paul in prison, right? He's in prison, and he's praying for people that he's writing a letter to. And after he prays for them, he says, and me, right? And after this, you're going, Lord, release me from prison. I'm tired of being in here. No, he prays for God, give me the utterance or the power to say the words to open the hearts of people. Man, you're in jail. You better be praying. You get out, right? You think about Acts chapter 4, before they stand before the Sanhedrin Council for the very first time. These two apostles pray and ask the group there to pray that they have the right words to say and that God will give them courage to say them. Again, they're going into a situation where it is persecution, right? And this is their prayer. And what that tells me is there is an awareness here. There is an awareness that this is not going to be the comfortable life. And that's not what we need to be concerned about. So let me end with this. Hard, but joyful. Do y'all remember after the Holy Spirit descends on them in Acts? Do y'all remember what happens next? Peter and the apostles stand up and give the very first sermon. Right? Y'all remember that? Do you remember what they were accused of? Being drunk. Have you ever thought about that? I mean, their response is absolutely beautiful. First of all, it's 9:00. We ain't had time to get drunk. But second of all, why drunk? I don't know what these people look like, but I know that they have just received the power of God. And there is this an amazing joy in these people. You remember that story we talked about in Acts 4? It says after they were beaten by the council, they left there and were filled with joy, counting themselves blessed to have suffered for the gospel. That's Acts 4. What? You think about that. You go back to the sermon Sunday morning, we talked about David. He said, I'm not going to offer anything to God that I didn't have to sacrifice for. I'm not going to offer a sacrifice to him that didn't cost me anything. Has Christianity ever cost you anything? In the world, if they looked at us today, would they say, you know what, those people love each other. They love people that are not like them. They love people they hate. They choose the right path no matter what. Integrity. There's so many categories of wisdom that sometimes I think we have lost the understanding of wisdom. But what integrity is the road between the mind and heart and the action, or mind and heart and the hands, and that's integrity. Being a person of integrity as God has called us to be, being this person who goes into these difficult situations and does them, it's amazing. Jeff Johnston is not here. I wish he were. We were talking about being people filled with joy the other day. Y'all remember that? And he says, you think Kathy Mashford has to wake up in the morning by our Lord today? Today, Lord, please give me joyfulness. He's like, and I don't know if he was saying that you're an overly joyful person or that he's mad because he has to pray for joy where she doesn't have to pray for joy. Which I would understand both paths, right? I'm a pretty happy person. I mean, I'm not a glee. I don't, when I think the word glee is somebody I don't like. But so I'm pretty happy. You know, I'm not sad, and I'm not negative most of the time. But when he talks about this joy, it's a joy that is outside of circumstance. It's outside of circumstance. It's a joy that's just immovable. It's immovable. I don't know how we can obtain that joy outside of Jesus Christ. A joy that is lived in this world where we can look at another person that we consider an enemy. We'll use Christian words. We strongly dislike this individual. But yet we can love them. That's not natural. That's only God-given. All right, we got to pause. Thank you all for coming. Next week, same bat time, same bat station. Oh, here you go, one more thing. He said that Sloan told us if we were going to be Teen Titans Go, which I don't, unless you're a parent, you may not know what that is. He said, but Charlie would obviously be Robin. He's the leader. Man, he's just throwed me under the bus. You hear me? And then he says, Macy would be Raven because she talks to demons. I thought, yes, she would. That's a good call right there. She's a demon speaker. He said, I'll be Beast Boy because I'm lazy. All right, you know what I mean?